This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. And it is Healthy Monday, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous day outside. I can't wait to get out there after the show. And you are listening to 107.7 WTPL-FM, and we are also live streaming on the web at WTPLFM.com. And yes, Mike.
We are brought to you by Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought and Kale and Company. And New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. It's great having all these official this is an official that. When are we going to get the official BMW dealer of
Food
for Thought?
That would be great.
What color would you like, June?
Oh, I'd say a baby blue.
Blue, huh? Yeah. NewEnglandCoffee.com. So, yeah.
And you know, we do have a new sponsor.
A new sponsor?
We have a new sponsor, and it's Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill over on 2nd Street.
Oh.
Very good.
I did see a picture of you and Daryl there the other night, and I love Mexican food, so I do need to try it.
Did you see the picture of that glass bowl that Daryl was eating? Is that the one that I posted the picture of?
I don't remember that one.
Oh, you know what? I think it went on Food for Thought. It might have went on the Food for Thought Facebook page, but they served, Daryl asked for a shrimp cocktail. And it came in the big margarita glass that they serve it.
Nice.
And it was kind of like a soup mixture, you know, it was thick though. It had avocados in there and tomatoes and onions.
Sort of a salsa version of cocktail sauce, I would guess.
So good.
All right. Here's the important question. I love a good low cal margarita. Hopefully they can make them. A lot of places you go into, you say, I want a Jamaican margarita.
Right.
They know exactly what you mean.
Oh, they do.
They do.
Oh, they do.
They do. When I do get them, I mean, Rocco's not here. He's on his motorcycle, so he's not listening. So, I don't like a Jamaican. I really don't, but I will still get when I have a margarita, although I did have one on Saturday. I like it with half and half, half Jamaican, and I have to just have a little bit of the mix.
Okay.
I just do it. Just, it's too much the Jamaican altogether.
It's amazing that a margarita, a full blown margarita can be 700-800 calories.
Oh, ridiculous.
My God.
And a Jamaican will be half that or less.
Yes.
So even if you split the difference, you know, that's good. Rocco would be proud.
Well, he's trying to teach me how to party healthy, like he said earlier. So he wants me to drink
party healthy versus party with deprivation. I mean, you can have to feed the spirit once in a while with some Patron, right, June?
Yep. Nothing like it. I've been doing absolute citron and club soda with a lime. So there
Very
you go.
Tasty,
that's
right?
It is. I love it. I love it.
Gives
so
that
that's what
buzz.
I stay with. And I did have a margarita the other day, but I think mine was just Jamaican. So, but it was good. Yeah. You must try them. They are awesome.
And yeah. You'll have to go to Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
2nd Street.
2nd Street. Okay.
You know, you go in where Unwind is.
Yes.
Right in there on the
It's in that plaza?
Right in there.
Okay.
They've been there over a year now.
Yeah.
And, Cinco de Mayo, Rocco will be playing. So
I know, I can't
they're
wait.
They're having a big outside party. It's on a Tuesday night at 6:30, 6:30 to 8. So.
All right. Well, we need to get them on the air sometime for a little a little visit.
Definitely.
Talk Mexican food.
Carlo will come on.
Oh,
and
he's great. Yeah.
So on Meatless Monday, what Mexican dish could we have?
Oh, lots of them.
Yeah. Well, that's for sure. But I didn't find a Mexican one for us this week, but I did find a new site.
Ooh.
Yep.
That's exciting. Don't you love it when you find new?
I do. And I got it from the girls over at Integrity when I was there Saturday. And I went on, and it's amazing how much they have on there. It's called skinnytaste.com.
Ooh, I'm going to write that down.
Yep, skinnytaste.com. And it has gluten-free. It has grilling. It has soups. It has stews. It has appetizers. It has a endless list. Unbelievable. I was blown away when I first seen it. And for tonight, I'm going to be making Dennis mushroom stroganoff.
See, when I hear stroganoff, that
you
sounds
fat. Yeah, heavy
all
cream
the pasta.
And
yeah.
all that. But we use that new pasta from
that pasta's good.
That pasta
from
is
Celeste Oliva,
and it's healthy and it's freshly made, but then it's dried. So it is less calories and everything else than the normal pasta you have out
there.
They're
like all natural ingredients in it. There's like only like three ingredients in it. And I can't think of.
No.
Where do you get this kind of pasta?
It's at Celeste Oliva in, in Concord.
Got it.
Yep. And it's very, very. And she has all kinds of flavors. Amazing. So this mushroom stroganoff here is starts with butter and then.
That's not good.
I love butter. Keep going, June.
I know, but it's only one tablespoon. And actually, the all the calories, it's only 268 calories in this dish. So that is not bad whatsoever.
It's not. How big is a serving? About a half an ounce?
1.5 cups.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 1.5 cups.
Okay.
So that's not bad at all. And then you take a half a cup of chopped onion, and you have some 2 tablespoons of flour, 2 cups of fat-free broth, vegetable broth or beef broth if you'd like, 1 tablespoon of Worcestershire, tomato paste, 5 ounces of cremini mushrooms, baby bellas, shiitake, thyme, salt, pepper to taste, 2 tablespoons of white wine, 1/4 a cup of reduced fat sour cream, and your noodles. And 1 teaspoon of minced black parsley to garnish with at the end.
That doesn't sound bad at all.
It really doesn't.
No,
because
I usually make a stroganoff for my family, and I have cream of mushroom soup and I always use the fat-free cream and all that anyways. But
can't tell the difference at all.
No, you can't.
Really can't.
I can't tell it at all.
Me neither.
And, you know, you were talking about lactose with Rocco, and Dennis has to drink that lactaid milk, and you can't tell the difference.
Yeah, you can't.
It's amazing. There's no difference in the taste in it. So you cook your noodles, like it says, only do it a bit under because it's going to cook a little bit longer once you mix it all together. You heat up your pan and your skillet, melt the butter, add the onions, cook till they're about translucent, add the flour, stir it with a wooden spoon for about 30 seconds. And did you know there is a thing about mixing a roux with a wooden spoon that you're always supposed to do that?
I never knew that.
I don't know the reasoning, but I have heard that before. So when it says specifically with a wooden spoon, there is a reason for it, and I didn't know that.
I like to use an old wooden spoon too, but after a while, I want to hurry it up, so I'll get a whisk out. Because a whisk is a heck of a lot more effect than a wooden spoon.
You're absolutely
right. Yet a wooden spoon is one of the all-time great kitchen implements.
Oh, yeah, you got to have one.
That is my go-to.
That's your favorite
piece,
right?
It is. Yeah.
Ann Burrell on the Food Network said that that hers also is like her mom's or grandmother's wooden spoon. So imagine the despair if you were ever to lose it or break it, right?
Oh, my gosh.
It's true.
Yeah, especially
it's true.
If it's
I have
from
two
your grandmother.
Yeah.
But then you just add your broth, your Worcestershire, tomato paste. And before I add anything else, what I do with my tomato paste is I squeeze it right into the pan, stir it in really good because you got to wake it up, as they say, because it's been in that tube. I've said that before, but it's so true. It makes a difference. And then you add your mushrooms, thyme, salt and pepper, and cook till it's bubbly, and then mix it all together.
That sounds really good.
And I did bring a recipe for you, an extra one for you to have.
Oh, good, good.
Because I said, Carol might want this one.
I definitely, and I'll make sure that it goes on the Food for Thought and our new website that's coming out.
And really, check out this tasty, skinny taste.
SkinnyTaste.com. I'm going to check that out.
It's amazing. It really is.
Now, the other thing that I came across on Pinterest was, did I already show you this? I'm not sure if I did or not, but it's cauliflower pizza crust.
No, someone was talking about it last week.
Yeah, I've heard about that, too.
Weren't you talking to someone about it last
week? Well, maybe I did.
Yeah, I think you did on the radio last week. You were
talking about? I probably did.
It sounds very interesting.
It sounds so good. I'm going to try it this week, and I'll actually bring some in. So
I know I keep saying I'm going to bring something in, but comes Monday, I'm like, I'm not a good go-getter on Monday, but I'll work on it.
Well, so tell me more about this crust for pizza. This
I know
cauliflower crust because you know I'm a bread guy and I make homemade pizza all the time, and I'm wondering if it would be worthy of.
When I was on Pinterest, because I didn't see this on Pinterest the first time I started talking about it. And then when I was on Pinterest yesterday looking up healthy meals, this was popping up all over the place. So I'm like, I really gotta try this.
What's the basics?
It is the basics are the... really, really easy. Ingredients: 12 ounces of cauliflower florets. It says fresh or frozen. I mean, I'd probably use the fresh ones.
Well, yeah.
And half a cup of shredded reduced fat cheese, 2 teaspoons Italian herb blend, and a pinch of cayenne, and 1 egg white beaten.
That's all it's going to hold together.
It says use the bottom of 2 sheet pans. And, you know, I was reading like a bunch of different recipes, and I may not do it this way because I was looking at other ways on the site. But cook the cauliflower with a half a cup of water, drain any excess water, allow it to cool, finally chop up the cauliflower. So you or use like a grater if you want to. So
yes.
It's kind of like a pile of.
So is it kind of al dente when it comes out, or
no? It says no,
it's soft.
It says cook it till tender.
Yeah. Okay,
you know. So yeah, drain any excess water, and then in the medium bowl, combine the chopped cauliflower with the cheese, herbs, cayenne pepper, and then stir in the egg white. Divide the dough in half,
and
but it does because I saw the pictures and it looks just like
really?
It's dough. And then you press it down and you press it onto your sheet pan. And then you put your toppings on top, and look what it looks like. Doesn't it look beautiful?
I mean, it does.
It really looks good.
I need a copy of that.
It looks like it.
I will get you a copy
on the side. Too.
Yes, it does.
It looks like it gets all crusty and
oh my God,
crispy.
I would get such major brownie points with Barb if I were to make one of my special pizzas using cauliflower.
There you go.
Holy cow!
I would do it, not tell her, and see what happens.
Well, she knows my crust really well. Not to get too personal, but. I have to tell you, I would like to do it and surprise her. So you're right from that aspect.
Yeah.
I mean, she'll look at it. No, because I can see by looking at it, it's kind of, it's got a lot of texture to it.
It does.
It's not smooth, but also it gives you, it looks like a lot of little like burn spots.
Yeah,
to
which
create
I
some
love crunch. That. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, Tracy last week was talking about a pizza that she does. She takes it to the beach. We're going to have to take it to the beach.
Right.
Hummus pizza.
Yep.
Oh, yeah?
She uses like a whole wheat, you know, wheat crust that you can buy.
Yeah, like a boboli or something.
Right. Or, you know, make a cauliflower crust. Right. I mean, I'll see how easy it is. It doesn't sound too difficult.
No.
It really doesn't. And then you, instead of the sauce, you put hummus on it. And then whatever kind of toppings you want, like red onion or some feta cheese she's put on it. I would bake it. She says she doesn't bake it when she takes it to the beach because she takes it cold.
Yeah.
But... this is great for like meatless Mondays.
Exactly.
I mean, it's awesome. Yeah. I would bake it and then just have it cold, cut it up and bring it to the beach like that.
Right.
That sounds so good.
Yeah. And healthy.
Hummus
and
pizza.
Yeah.
No. So there really is, you know, so many different,
you know, on this,
things that you can.
And that's gluten free too, by the way, from what you just mentioned.
Yes.
So another benefit.
It is. It's also gluten free.
And a lot of the vegetarian dishes I'm seeing is gluten-free, and they're only telling you to use all the best ingredients. Even though they say you can use frozen, it's still not, the flavor's not as good as fresh. But, you know, in a pinch, I guess, that would be good. I found this other little one, too. It's called zucchini tots.
Ooh.
Zucchini tots, and it sounds really good. You take a cooking spray, and you spray your
sheet pan,
thank you. And you take a cup of packed grated zucchini. So you want to grate your zucchini till you get a cup. But what you have to do is you have to squish it down.
Get the water out.
Yeah, because zucchini has a ton of water.
What's your best way to do that? I use paper towels, but it doesn't.
I use a dish towel.
Dish towel would probably
dish
be better.
Towel. Just like when you have your spinach from frozen spinach, put it in, thaw it out, put it in there, and just squeeze it. And it doesn't stain it green. I thought it would, but it doesn't. And then you take 1 egg, a 1/4 cup of medium onions minced, 1/4 cup of grated reduced fat sharp cheese, cheddar cheese.
Really good.
Breadcrumbs and salt and pepper. And you mix it all together. And then you just form these little oval shape things and put them on your cookie sheet. And then you bake it at 400 until they're golden brown.
That sounds delicious.
So are they crunchy on the outside? That's the key.
I bet they are on.
I think they would.
I didn't bring the picture, but it did look at on the edge and stuff like that. That would be a great appetizer.
It's a perfect appetizer.
I'm trying to think of what you could use, like maybe a shot glass or something, so that you could have consistently sized and shaped items.
Or, you know what you could use is a mini muffin pan, too.
That's very true. So I look like a little quiches or something.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Wow. All this brainstorming is getting me very hungry for healthy food.
For healthy. It's
there you go. It's good.
Zucchini tots.
Yeah. Who knew, huh?
And, you know, you could even, instead of the whole egg, you could use the egg white, like the cauliflower right. pizza crust, you know, shows yep. here. And it would be even less.
Right.
Really, when you think
or
about it.
Or even the egg beaters. Those are
yes,
less
egg
than,
beaters are, yeah.
Less than a normal egg and all that. So, yeah. I do have a little question for you guys. If you boiled an egg and the white turned bluish and the yolk turned reddish orange, what kind of an egg would you have?
Ooh.
The white turns bluish and the yolks turn reddish orange. Kind of a yolk egg would you have?
Well, why don't we take a break, let people think about that.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and June will give us the answer. Sound
there
good?
There you go. Sounds good.
It's a great
When
riddle.
I read that, I said, I'd throw it away.
That's what I was watching Mike's brain working too.
Yeah.
A little nervous about what was going to come out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But I that was my first thought too, June. Okay,
yeah,
you're listening to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike on this gorgeous Monday. And it's a healthy Monday. We have June in the house and Meatless Mondays.
And a riddle too, right?
Yes.
I'm going to read it again.
Yes. Why don't you do that?
Please do.
If you boil an egg and the white turned bluish and the yolk turned reddish orange, what kind of an egg would you have?
Not a Cadbury egg?
No.
Oh, that was a great answer. I was thinking, that's not what it is?
No.
Wow.
So, and it's supposed to do this, so it's not?
Yes. No, it's edible. And
is it something we can get in the store?
I'm sure specialty stores would have it, yeah.
So farms or farm stands?
Exactly.
Is it larger or smaller than a typical chicken large egg?
I'm not sure of that.
Ostrich egg.
No, it's not an ostrich egg, because I know that's big.
Oh.
That's huge.
Oh, yeah.
Those are huge.
Or like an emu.
Like if you, you crack it in a bowl, it'll fill the whole bowl.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. I was with Todd English once doing an interview, and he brought out an emu egg, and it looked like a candlepin bowl, bigger than a bowling ball.
Yeah, exactly.
I said, man, what are we going to do? It's like six omelets all in one.
Ooh. Does it taste good?
Yeah, I think so. He was bringing out some weird stuff for me to try, but it was great, as you can imagine. So we have to come up with a guess. Kiwi?
Kiwi?
Kiwi? Isn't that a kiwi bird?
Oh, no, it's not that.
Okay.
Should I just...
Man, I'm clueless.
I am too.
You got us, June. What is it?
It's a duck egg.
Oh, jeez.
Of course.
Of course.
A duck egg.
That was my next
So it
guess.
Comes out red?
I guess so. Reddish orange.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It is a hard boiled
actually
demeanor.
Right as you boil it after you boil it.
You know, I had a duck egg at Stages in Dover.
Well, I kind of figured you would have.
And
was it?
Trying to think of that kind of egg I had, and when you said duck egg, that's it. And you know that egg, it was it was darker in there because of the ambiance and stuff, but it's also really rich.
Right.
It's like a nice egg. Like
well,
when you,
I remembered you talking about it. That's why I said, I got to see if she.
That is it, a duck egg, and it was really delicious. Mm. Really, really.
So don't be scared if you ever boil duck eggs.
Right.
Don't throw it away. Just try it.
and I wonder how it tastes. I mean, does a duck egg taste like a chicken egg?
You know
like
what?
An ostrich egg?
It tastes like a chicken egg, but it was nice and, like I said, nice and rich tasting. Like it tasted really good. Tasted good. It was rich. Thick.
Yeah, I mean, a duck is a very rich, fowl to begin with. So I guess that would follow
sense.
Through. Yeah.
Yep.
But that's Meatless Monday. We can't talk about eating duck, right?
No, that's right. You know, it was funny. I went to get some olive oil and we were talking, just chit-chatting about the radio and this and that. And she goes, you guys on Meatless Mondays crack me up. You're always talking about you start out good, but then you always end up with meat.
That's Charla.
Yeah. So I said, she's right. So I kind of try to be mindful of that and not talk about a meat. Cause...
We're gonna get the meat edit button out there for you, June. Like there's the bleep button for people swearing. We're going to put the meat bleep button.
Well, J-Dog can do that for us.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think we're going to go to break because I know you need to get going. And yep. We have Susan Osborne in the house, B Image Consulting. You can check her out on the web, bimageconsulting.com. And we're talking today about organizing your closet.
Oh, that's so a big one.
Okay, I'll just leave now.
Yeah. That's a big one.
I'm anxious to hear about organizing your closet. So,
my closet?
Not yours, mine.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Carol has a room for a closet.
I have an Oprah closet.
Yeah.
Really? I want you to take a picture sometime and post it.
I will when I straighten it out.
Oh.
I even have a chandelier in there.
It
is a nice closet, but it does need a little bit of, I need some Susan Osborne advice.
Yeah. So. It is a room. It's not a closet.
Well, it was another bedroom. But anyway, okay. You're listening to Food for Thought. June is in the house. Well, was in the house. June's leaving the house. Yeah. Thank you very much,
You're
June.
You're welcome.
It was
Thank
very
you.
Interesting. It was fun. All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. It's Healthy Monday, and it is our week with Susan Osborne of B Image Consulting. And you can also check her out on the web at bimageconsulting.com, and it's beimageconsulting.com. I know when I first did, I just did B, and I'm like, where is it? But B.
Probably got some honey farm, right? Instead, hey, I want to let everybody know the show is brought to you by Belmont Hall and Restaurant on Grove Street in Manchester. BelmontHall.net. Yes, you've probably been there for a breakfast or a function of some sort because they've been doing it fresh for over 50 years. And Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now open with the drive-through in Londonderry, RedArrowDiner.com. And after Friday's comedy segment on funny drive-through stories, you need to have your window people start writing down the incidents and things.
Yes.
And people come through at 2 a.m. and stuff they're saying and ordering.
Fun. They've already mentioned a couple stories.
Have they?
So it's kind of interesting. So, yeah.
Leave it at that, right? Interesting.
We'll leave it at that right now. But I did ask them to start taking some pictures, too,
good.
To put on social media and stuff like that. So
good idea.
So, yeah. So welcome, Susan, to Food for Thought.
Thank you. Thanks. Happy to be back.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that you're here. And today we are going to be talking about, it's a closet showdown, 10 easy steps to an organized wardrobe that will inspire your socks off. How exciting is that?
That's all. That's not too sexy.
Come or on. It might inspire Carol to actually clean her closet and take a picture of it and post it.
I should. Well, I should take a picture before.
I always recommend that, actually.
So do you?
Yeah, you can see the results of your, you can see the success of your results that way.
Okay, so let's talk about it, because I do have some questions, but I don't want to ask the questions until you start giving a couple lessons.
Okay, so. Well, I have a statistic for you guys.
Okay.
What do you think the average woman, the cost of the average woman of her unworn clothes in her closet?
That is a great question.
The cost of the clothes she is not wearing.
I bet you it's right up there. Probably a few $1,000.
I'm going to guess $3,000.
Ooh, you guys are high. It's actually $550.
Oh, no, not in my closet.
When I read that, I thought it sounded a little low to me. And based on all of the closets that I've been in with my clients, yeah, I'm guessing probably more like $1,500.
I was just going to say maybe the average, maybe $1,500, yeah. $2,000 or, $1,500,
So these are clothes that are either rarely worn or have never been worn. How do we categorize this?
A lot of them have never been worn. Most of them have never been worn. In fact, I was looking at a statistic. 39% of women in the survey were too busy to actually return the clothes.
Really?
And that's why they stay in their
funny.
Closet. Oh, yeah. There's tons of women out there that have clothes with tags left on the pieces.
Do you think men are violators of that as well?
No, actually, men will wear the clothes even though they know it's wrong. Until somebody tells them otherwise, or until they see themselves in a picture, it's different for men.
I'd like to stick up for guys out there right now, but I can't because she's right. And I'm just as guilty.
Yeah. So I, you know, I'm a firm believer that when your closet is clean, it creates harmony for you, so that it releases an outlet to be creative with your clothes. And it really does start with having an organized closet so you can see what you have.
So when you say, now, is this the rule of thumb? And I'm not sure if we talked about it with you or I just maybe know the statistics or whatever. But when you have something in your closet that you have not worn in over a year, is it time to get rid of it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that is absolutely.
No doubt about it. Absolutely get rid of it.
Really?
If you did not wear it in the past season. Now, if it's for style purposes and you didn't wear it, meaning that you, if it wasn't a fit thing, if you didn't wear it last season, you're more than likely that you will never wear it again. Yeah. Now, a lot of people don't wear things because either they've gained weight or, you know, lost weight. And so they may hang on to it for a year or two to see, you know, what becomes of that. But,
and if it's like an expensive piece or something that, it's okay to keep it on, keep hold of it.
Right. I mean, obviously, we're talking for everyday use. You know, if you didn't wear your gala gown last year, that doesn't mean go get rid of it.
Right.
You know, you're going to keep pieces like that.
Okay. All right.
So I have some tips for everyone.
Okay.
I need to get started. And the first one is so important. It's you have to be in the mood. Right.
Right.
To clean out your closet.
I mean, for sure.
It seems like a no-brainer, but you really have to be in the mood. And the reason why is because you need the right mindset and mental space to practice tough love. Right.
I love this.
Right.
Like an intervention almost.
That's right. With yourself.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, you can't make excuses for clothes like, oh, they'll come back someday, or, well, I still have somewhere left in those 20-year-old jeans, or, you know, you have attachment things with it because of
attachment
my mother
issues.
Issues. Thank you. Because my mother-in-law gave it to me and therefore I should keep it.
So ditch it.
You got to ditch it. You must be brave in this process, right? Because more than likely dollar signs are going to be popping up in your mind like ghosts, right?
Oh,
yeah. Making you face those unwise past purchases.
All right, so how do I get in the mood? You said that you have to be in the right frame of mind. You have to be in a certain place. So do you begin with, say, drinking a bottle of Chardonnay?
Or? Sure. In fact, number two here, well, it's my last bullet, is your celebratory beverage of choice. great music. Having the supplies, right? Having everything you need. So like large trash bags, empty boxes, empty shopping bags, a full-length mirror is a must for everyone, whether you're going through this process or not. Everyone should have a full-length mirror. I think I mentioned that before. But, you know, when you're trying stuff on, you really need to see yourself from head to toe, how others are seeing you. Having storage containers that you love, music, you know, really creating a nice space for yourself to kind of get in the zone.
What about shoes? Does that go the same with shoes if you have not worn the shoes in a season, to get rid of them? Shoes? Or
that's a good question.
Ooh, different rules apply, apparently.
I know. Probably. I guess it depends on the reason. If it's for fit, if you know you're not wearing them because they're not fitting right or they're hurting your feet, you're not going to.
Right.
If it's a style thing, I would actually hang it. Well, the thing with shoes is that they're an accessory. And so, you know, if they're not your basic black shoes and they've got some pizzazz to them, then
because sometimes shoes you don't
trendy.
Wear them. All the, you know, different, you know, like I have one pair of navy pumps. When do you wear navy pumps? I never do.
Right. So get rid of them. Yeah.
There is some time that I may get a blue dress and I might need it, or blue pants. Like, see, I'm not one that wears blue pants and stuff, but I do have one pair because one time I did find a blue dress and I needed to get blue pumps. So
that's Carol being all matchy matchy, which is fine.
Well, what would you wear with a blue dress? You'd have to wear blue.
I would wear like a bone colored shoe with a navy blue
dress. Do you know, I do not own any bone colored shoes.
Oh,
I mean, sandals I do. Not like pumps or anything.
Okay.
Never.
Yeah. Everyone must own
Yeah, but then what would you wear with nylons? What color? Like nylon color?
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't wear of that either.
So some women wear nylons now. Some of us don't. Yeah. So, yeah, neutral. Just a neutral color. Mm. Nylon. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Okay. But nude. A definitely nude sort of sand color shoe is very important for the wardrobe, for sure.
Ooh.
Let's see. You know, you got to realize that 50 to 90% of everything in the closet is going to have to find a new place, right? So finding a new place for everything that's not clothes, not accessories. And I love this because, you know, I've seen it all, man. I've seen wedding dresses. That's common. I've seen roller skates. I've seen tennis racket. I've seen just like the stuff that doesn't belong in a clothing wardrobe closet, unless you're really prosperous.
Why is that stuff in there? There could be other reasons.
Yeah. So, you know, but.
Like the harness and stuff?
Just ignore him.
So, you know, moving stuff out and not just moving stuff for the sake, you know, finding a real home for it, right? So you're not just moving it from one room to another. And, you know, less is more in the closet, right? So really kind of.
Well, I like what you said earlier when you said, you know, with the less is more rule like that, that, you know, when you have less in your closet, you need to be more creative. And, you know, right now I just have so much in my closet. I can't even be creative because it's just so much. I don't even know what I have.
Because you can't see it.
Now, when you say organized, like, so, you know, because I mean, mine's like a whole room. And like, do I have like short sleeves with short sleeves and long sleeves with long sleeves and sweaters with sweat, you know, like, do you know what I mean? Like, is that organized like that, right?
Yeah, that's great. That's great to do that. And you can organize it by color, you know, light to dark. And that's helpful. And then, yeah, organize it, you know, in sections. So all of your pants are together and all of your, you know, suit jackets are together. And
you know what I always tend to have so much of, it seems, and it's not even funny. And then I can never find one. It's the craziest thing. You know, like in this kind of weather, you know, when like this morning I couldn't just go out with a short sleeve shirt. So I need to have like a little cover up. I must have a million stinking cover ups, but they're never the right color for me when I need to go get one. They're just never the right ones. And then when I go shopping, and you know what I've been thinking about a lot? Well, let me finish that thought. When I go shopping, I'll buy another one. I just buy another one. I add to it. And then some are over there, and some are over there, and some are over there. They're all over the place in my closet. I don't even know what I have. Okay. I hope Daryl's not listening.
What could be the problem is that we're, you know, and especially you, Carol, you're attracted to jazzy things, right? Like you like stuff. You know, with bells and whistles on it. And with a little shell, like what you're speaking of, you actually want it really plain and simple. You want to look for something in a neutral color and that's styled, you know, that's sort of cut in a very clean, simple way so that it's not interfering with what you're trying to put with it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So neutral colors, plain and
simple. You know, they're like knits, and I didn't want to put a knit over this because, you know, I don't know. I just can never find the right one.
Yes, but, you have to play around with different fabrics, textures.
Yes. Yeah. But I have a million different ones in my closet. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need you to just come over and do it for me.
We should do a documentary.
Oh, my gosh.
Of your closet. Oh, do you keep all of your fall and in summer clothes?
My closet's big enough that I can do that.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Because I do recommend for women that have small closets to, you know, sort those seasons out.
Sort them out. Right.
Move them out of the closet, put them somewhere else so that you can see. The whole idea is for you to actually see what you have. Yeah. And separate them
out. I have
a
theory that no matter what size your closet is, no matter how big it ever would become, you would fill it. It's some kind of scientific. Things will spread out and cover their own space or whatever the word is. But if you double the size of your closet within no time, you'll say, I don't have enough closet space.
It's true.
Yeah.
It is true.
Yeah.
It is true. And, you know, I just want to do a little shout out to he did my closet over about 5 or 6 years ago. It's Michael Cota of New England Closet Design. Mm-hmm. And actually, do you know him?
No, I don't.
But New England Closets Design. They're up in Grantham. And he's the one that designed my closet. And I emailed him this morning and said that Susan was coming on, and I'm going to give him a little plug. So if anybody needs to, you know, go that step further and to organize their closet, like really have a whole closet design, it's wonderful. It's beautiful. So NewEnglandClosetDesign.com.
Do you know how many minutes per day the average woman spends in front of the closet?
Oh, okay. Here's another
it
question.
It depends if I'm having a clothes crisis.
So what would your guess be?
I would say, easily 20, 25 minutes.
And this is per day, a woman per day, right? Deciding
yes.
what to wear? Because I know
I don't do that every day.
Barb lays out clothes on the bed sometimes
the
hours before. Or if we have an event in the evening, we go to a lot of events. There might be four or five things on the bed. I don't even know where the pillows or the dog or anything is because it's all filled with clothes. I'm going to guess it's at least 20 minutes and maybe more.
Yeah. Well, according to this study, it was 15 minutes. But I'm with you guys. I'm thinking more like 20.
Well, when I come down and it's been 20, 25, Daryl's like, you had a clothes crisis, right? I'm like,
yeah, I couldn't find anything to wear. And let me guess, where did clothes end up on the floor?
Oh, my gosh, it's a disaster in there because then you never put them back on the hanger. You just take it off and you look in the mirror and you go, whoosh, and you just fly it off and it feels there. Yeah, and then you come home at night and you're like, oh, my gosh, what did I do?
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's a sign that you need an image consultant right there. Your clothes
is that what you do
floor.
By any chance? Oh, my God, it's your lucky day, Carol.
Imagine that. Okay, so what else do we have? Practicing your tough love, right? So going through, are the clothes dated? Are they a bad color? You know, we talked about temperatures of colors last time I was here. Are they ripped, stained, or they don't fit? You're going to be sorting things through with
the above.
Keepers, menders, giveaways, throwaways, right? So you're going to want, like, four separate piles going on.
Mine just go all in the giveaway. Are you kidding? They love it when I'm going through my closet. All my friends. My sister, she comes over and gets all
That's
the garbage
great.
Bags. It's great.
That's great.
I call and you know what I do?
She's
I go,
incentive.
I'm doing it now. So if you want this bag, you better come now.
Right. Before you change your mind.
I usually race right over. So I don't usually have a problem with
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So it's all about asking yourself honestly, like, when was the last time I wore this? How do I feel in it? Does it fit? Is it the memory of the item that I'm attached to, or is it the item itself, right? Then you got to be brave. People are definitely attached to the memory of something. I come across that a lot. Well, I can't get rid of that because I bought that, you know, on my second anniversary in Aruba and, you know, the
1981.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't really come back with anything. Can you? But what do you say to somebody who just pours their heart out to you about something that means something to them? You can't say, throw
There's
it
a,
out.
No, of course not. There's a place for it. It's not on the hanger in the closet.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe it's folded up and put somewhere like as a keepsake, but not, you know, because the problem is when you're not actively using everything in your closet for outfitting yourself, this bad energy comes in with all the stuff that's there that you're not wearing. And it prevents you from being creative and having fun with your wardrobe, which you should because you've spent tons of money on it, right? I mean, what did we say?
We
how
did
much
talk
the
about
way? Yeah. So we know that. Regardless of who you are, you're still spending money on clothes. So you're making an investment. And why not have it be a fun process?
And let's talk about, again, because I thought this was so important, and I actually haven't been clothes shopping since. That day that I said I was going to go right away after, I didn't. Okay, I didn't. Because you know what I've really been thinking a lot about was when you said, you know, how people take the time, they look in their food closet and they look in their refrigerator and they decide, you know, they look and see what they need, you know, what they need. You know, you're not going to get another thing of garlic if you already have garlic. You're not going to get, you know. And I've really been thinking a lot about that, like looking in the closet and looking at what I need.
Right.
Get.
And you can't really do that and identify what you need.
When it's unorganized.
That's right. So...
what we should do is ask how people could get in touch with you because this is what you do and you have some really good things to share. So if somebody wanted to at least call you and find out about your services, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. Yeah, they could call me at 603-496-6667 or they could always email me at Susan, S-U-S-A-N, at Be Image Consulting, and that's spelled BEImageConsulting.com.
There you go.
When I think of what you do, I don't typically think of a state of like New Hampshire, even though clearly all states could use it. I picture you being in a big city somewhere where there's a high concentration of people who would pay for these very important services, but there's enough business to be had here in the Granite State?
There is. You know, what's interesting about that is that this isn't a to-be-seen kind of situation or why clients are calling me. They're really calling me. You know, the average age of my client falls between, 45 years old and up, actually. And it's usually, I do work with women and men, but it's usually women, and it's the time in their life where they just want to say, all right, this is it. This, my body is the way it is. Kids have left the house. I'm ready to focus on myself. And it's more of actually an internal thing, even though it is about dressing on the outside. Actually, a lot of therapy goes into this process to really help them reflect who they are on the inside, on the outside.
That
so
makes
they
sense.
Feel good about themselves. Yeah,
it totally makes sense. I'm feeling like I might be in the mood to go home and do my closet. I really think I am.
That's awesome.
I, on the other hand, have no intention of doing that today. There's not enough Patron in my house to get me in the right frame of mind, and then we're back to that, aren't we?
Funny. Well,
good,
Susan,
good to have you,
you,
Susan Osborne. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yes, and don't forget, listeners, there's no Kale and Company today because the Red Sox is going to be doing their home opener. What a day to be at
Perfect.
Fenway.
Yep.
Oh, I'm so jealous. It must be such
get down there by the fourth inning. There's never any traffic in Kenmore Square.
Traffic. Oh, my gosh. I am so not with traffic anymore. But yes, okay. And we'll see everybody tomorrow. And bye, Susan. Thank you very much.
Hi, thanks.
Bye. And Mike, you did great today.
Thank you.
You did great.
What did I do?